So let's first look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow in your presence once again, thanking you for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you for your beloved Son, the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us every knee shall bow, whether in heaven, whether on earth, whether on the earth, every knee shall bow. Confess that Jesus is Lord. So we thank you for him. We come before you today and just ask that you would be with us. We are needy people. We need understanding from your word. We just pray, asking these things in Christ's name. Amen. John 17 has been our study in recent studies. And in this chapter, we saw in part one, the introduction into the chapter, and we read the chapter, and we connected it with the upper room ministry that had just been the previous chapters of 13 to 16. And we see there as the Lord was teaching his disciples, and now we see the prayer that he offers up in chapter 17 to his Father. And the great communion here is it's called the high priestly prayer. We see this lofty prayer between the eternal Son of God and the Father. And then in part two, we notice the seven glories of Christ that are mentioned in John 17. And of course, the first one being very noteworthy, as Christ said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He was anticipating the cross. And then we saw in our third part how Christ addresses the Father in this prayer. Very interesting subject. And today we'd like to look at how Christ presents himself in John 17 in this high priestly prayer. Notice with me that 30 times he says, I. Now, when we think of praying ourselves, note with me as we consider this prayer today, that from a different perspective we see Christ speaking to his Father, but yet here he is, the sinless Lord of glory, the eternal Son of God, praying. Now when you and I go to our Father in prayer, we that are saved, or an unsaved person crying out for salvation, we would pray in much of a different manner than what we see here the Lord praying. In some respect, of course, we should understand this, that this being God in the flesh, he could speak the word I, emphasize himself without presumption. But when you or I speak to the Father, and we speak of ourselves continually, say, I've done this, I've done that, wouldn't that be presumptuous? But we would say, without a shadow of a doubt, that when the Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father, the one that he has always done the perfect will in accordance to his Father, he could rightfully say, I, and speak of what he has done. Let's look at some examples. In verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which hath thou given me. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now this is only appropriate for Christ to pray in such a manner, with such emphasis on what he hath done. Again, it would be quite presumptuous for us to pray in such a manner. But here we see that as we look at how Christ presents himself, we see how it shows his equality with the Father. You know, we've come back to that so many times in our study in the book of John, but without apology we do so, because that is one of the great emphases and themes of the Gospel of John, as we have noted, that each of the Gospels show a different aspect of Christ. The ones may say, well, why is it that so often we see things repeated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why is it some things are in John and not in the other Gospels? Why isn't it just one Gospel? Well, my friend, it's because in the eternal counsels of God, he saw fit in the inspired Word of God to show us different aspects of the person and work of Christ. In the book of John, it emphasizes his deity. It emphasizes his fact that Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Again, Matthew has an emphasis in one area of him being the coming king. Mark shows him as the great servant. Ones have noted that. And also, ones have noted often that Luke shows him in the aspect of him being the perfect man. Now, notice with me, in his prayer, how Christ presents himself. Look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Here we see the equality with the Father is Christ has power over all flesh to give eternal life. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I had, thou had with thee before the world was. Here we see his equality, for he had the glory with the Father before the world was. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Here we see he presents himself equal to the Father in possession. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We see they are one, the Father and the Son. Verse 12, while I was with him in the world, I kept them in thy name. So we see he, the Lord Jesus, keeps those that are his. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Christ has sent them, sent his believers. Verse 24, picking up in the middle, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is the eternal Son of God, before the foundation of the world. So again, only appropriate for Christ to pray with such emphasis on who he is. We saw in the first series of verses that I read that he emphasized what he has done, and here it emphasizes who he is, the person and work of Christ. This is the very foundation of true Christianity, of true, we say in context, true religion. Here we see true salvation is in and through Christ alone. You must be grounded upon what God has said concerning his Son, as far as who he is, his person, and what he has done, his works. So we see here, again, how Christ presents himself in this prayer. Think of how he starts this prayer. Glorify thy Son. It brings to mind, over in Colossians 1:18, as this is perhaps one of the wonderful, great verses that we need to hold in our minds to keep Christ in his rightful position. Over in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That he might have the preeminence. Preeminent one. The Lord Jesus Christ. So as we've been looking through this high priestly prayer of John 17, there's many aspects that we can break it down into and look at. The seven glories of Christ, how wonderful. The way that the Son, the Lord Jesus, presents himself in this prayer. And how Christ addresses the Father in this prayer. You know, we have one more aspect of this prayer that we'd like to consider. The next time that I'm with you, we would like to look at how Christ prayed for us. Do you remember how we broke this chapter down? We looked at how the beginning of the chapter, we see that there was prayer for himself. The middle of the chapter, verse 6 and verse 19, we see how he prayed for the disciples. And then in verse 20 to 26, we see how he prayed for future believers. He brought us into mind in this prayer, we that had not yet been born. And yet, now here we are as believers, born again, and we see how he prayed for us, and he prays for us even now. How wonderful a truth to know that Christ died for you, but he lives for us today. If you have any comments or questions or any concerns, we'd just like to close out today by reminding you that we are here with the intention of helping and encouraging anyone that is a believer, or if you are lost and are concerned about your soul, we would count it a privilege to open the Word of God to point out Christ to you. As the Scripture says, that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. We know that it's the Lord that must save any individual by his word and by his spirit working in them. But yet he uses people to show one the way. And we would be counting it a privilege if there's one out there today that knows not Christ, that we could encourage them to look to the Word of God and trust him. And again, as we speak to believers out there in this Bible study program, we would again count that a privilege to talk and have fellowship one with another with fellow believers. And
join us next week, Sunday morning at 10:15. You'll be listening to the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Network.